Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study program presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. We want to thank you for joining us today as we examine the truth of God's Word and the answers it holds to life's most important questions. If you have questions about this lesson or would like to study further, please contact us at montevistacoc.com. Now let's open our Bibles and study God's Word together.
Good morning, everybody. Good to be with you again on the Go and Teach Bible program. We genuinely appreciate your listening and your participation in the program. I want to start out by reading the passage that we're going to be studying this morning. It's going to be from Mark chapter 10. I'll read verses 1 through 12 of Mark chapter 10. It has a lot to do with marriage and divorce, some heavy material this morning. I hope that you will test everything that I say with what the Scripture says, and that you'll come to the knowledge of the truth. I certainly am seeking every time that I get into the book, and I don't claim that I have the truth, but I claim to know where the truth is found, and that is in the teachings of Jesus in the Holy Scriptures. He left there and went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan, and crowds gathered to him again. And again, as was his custom, he taught them. And Pharisees came up, and in order to test him, asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." And in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." Questions that people ask can say a lot about motives. You ever watched a court scene unfold and a lawyer asks a question that gets objected to? Sometimes the objection is, that's a leading question. In other words, as a lawyer is asking the question, you can't lead a witness to say what you want them to say. You can't imply certain things in your questions. Well, in chapter 10 of Mark, we have a question posed to Jesus, and the question stinks to high heaven. It's a question with impure motives. It's a question to get Jesus to trip on his own words or to contradict the law of Moses. And it's no surprise that the question comes from the Pharisees. The Pharisees were good at these dirty, tripping up type questions. The question was about divorce. Divorce is the hot topic. There's a lot of division in this religious culture. I mean, the American culture, and there was a lot of division in the Jewish culture too about divorce. You may hear some things on the program that surprise you concerning divorce and some about remarriage, but I challenge you to take up a copy of the Scripture, read along Mark chapter 10, or at least study Mark chapter 10 at another time, and see if what we're saying is in harmony with Jesus Christ. Jesus said some shocking things about divorce and remarriage. But as we have mentioned so many times on this radio program, we must love the truth so much that we are willing to toss out any and every presupposition or preconceived idea that we have ever had to accept the pure, unadulterated truth. Here's the question from the Pharisees in verse 2. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? And that question stinks. Wouldn't it have been better if the Pharisees had come up to Jesus and said, "Jesus, what makes for a healthy marriage? What makes for a good marriage?" And then Jesus could have talked about love and submission and putting the other person first and all of those wonderful things that make for good marriages. But these Pharisees aren't interested in marriage per se. We're interested in divorce. Can we divorce? And I love the response of Jesus. He says, "You tell me." Jesus asked them, "What does the Scripture say? What did Moses say to you? You guys can read what Moses said just as easily as I can read it. So the Pharisees respond back what they thought Moses had said, but their response is just as dirty as their original question. They respond by saying in verse 4, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away. What a bunch of liars. Now, it is true that Moses allowed for divorce in certain situations. I'm not denying that. Jesus does not deny that Moses allowed for divorce in certain situations, but their quotation from Moses is not correct. I challenge you to go back and read the Law of Moses for yourself. We don't have the time on the program to do so. But the Law of Moses did not permit divorce for any reason. The Law of Moses did not permit divorce for any cause. And yet, that's the indication that the Pharisees gave. They said, well, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away. Actually, that's part of the law. Well, fellas, that's part of the truth, you Pharisees. The Pharisees were always really good at quoting part of the truth and certain degrees of truth. Do you remember what the full law said? The full law is laid out in Deuteronomy 24, which states that if a man marries a woman and finds something indecent in her, then he can write a certificate of divorce and send her away. And I want you to underline that part about finding indecency in her. That's a quotation from the English Standard. Finding indecency in her. The part about finding indecency in her was left out of the Pharisees' response, but that was a requirement in the Law of Moses. The man had to find something indecent about her. He had to find something unseemly, something indecent, something filthy. Those are all good translations of that passage from Deuteronomy 24. In other words, the man had to find out that she had been sexually indecent. And I can prove that the indecency had sexual connotations from other Old Testament passages, but the man had to find something sexually indecent about his wife before he could divorce. I say all of that to emphasize that when the Pharisees quoted the Law of Moses, they quoted it wrong. They were incomplete in their quotation, and that's not surprising. They did that a lot. And I want to make this application. Are you looking for a loophole? And whenever someone starts manipulating God's word, starts leaving phrases out of certain verses, they're doing it to find a loophole. And people do this especially in the context of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. If you're looking into God's word for a loophole, you're already in a heap of trouble. If you're looking for a way out of the marriage, if you're looking for a way into a remarriage scenario with a clear you're already in a heap of trouble. Stop looking for a loophole. Rather than looking for loopholes, let's look for ways to enhance our marriages. Let's look for ways to enrich our spousal relationships. Look for ways to hold fast until death do us part. And if death does part us, then you can explore remarriage. I have come across enough instances in my short life to make me really passionate on this subject. We need to stop looking for loopholes out of marriage relationships, because as Jesus is about to say, God's will from the beginning is that we stay together with our original spouses. Mark 10, 5 through 9 again. Jesus said to them, because of your hardness of heart, He wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. So Jesus says, because of the hardness of your heart, Moses wrote any law on divorce. You know, even though the Pharisees had misquoted Moses, that didn't change why Moses wrote anything about divorce at all. Moses wrote about divorce at all because of the hardness of heart. If hardness of heart didn't exist, divorce wouldn't exist. If hardness of heart didn't exist, cheating wouldn't exist. If hardness of heart didn't exist, fornication wouldn't exist. And I don't mean to make you feel bad if you're listening to this program and you've had a divorce. Especially if you were the one that was cheated on. My heart goes out to you. What I'm saying is that if hardness of heart did not exist, you would have never been cheated on in the first place. We would have never sinned against our spouses in the first place. Do you see that? So all of the exceptions of divorce really go back to hardness of heart in some shape or form. But from the beginning, Jesus says, he made them male and female. You know, the only reason that two genders even exist is that the two genders would come back together, be married, and procreate. Have you ever thought about that? God could have created everybody a male, and he could have created everybody a female, and he could have invented some other form of procreation, and we could have avoided the marriage relationship altogether, but that was not God's will. God wanted the marriage relationship, and for procreation to come through that relationship. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife, and the two should become one flesh. They are no longer two, but one flesh. And I want you to stop for a moment and to take this flesh comment literally. Have you ever mutilated yourself? Would you ever mutilate yourself? Literally, would you ever cut yourself up with a knife into pieces? But that's what we've done in marriage. The marriage relationship should be so solid, so sound, so together. It's one flesh. And to cut up a marriage would be like mutilating a body with a knife. And what God has joined together, he says, let not man separate. Please focus on that last part. Let not man separate. But you know what we're doing in this country? We're letting man separate. We're letting man separate for any and every reason. She burns the toast. He doesn't take out the trash. She nags at me. He watches TV all the time. And as silly as those little things sound, those are the reasons that fights break out. Those are the reasons that bitterness is created. And ultimately, people give up in despair. And we are letting man separate what God joins. It is interesting that when I did this study on marriage, and I went back to several Old Testament passages, the prophets, the law, you name it. When I went back to the passages in the Old Testament concerning divorce, one thing really struck me, and it struck me hard, was God's warnings that if laws of marriage, divorce, and remarriage were not adhered to, God warned them that he would judge not just the people, but he would judge the land and the nation. Did you hear me? That if his laws concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage were not adhered to, he wasn't just going to judge the people in the spousal relationship. He was going to judge the land and the nation. God spoke about it in Deuteronomy 24 and verse 4 as bringing sin upon the land. Did you hear that? So when God's laws of marriage, divorce, and remarriage are not respected, the land, the nation, the country comes under the judgment of God. And when I read the pages of Scripture, I don't see anywhere that indicates that God changes in regards to how he judges nations and lands. Every indication that I get from the Bible is that God is still judging nations and lands partially on how they treat his laws on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And to further carry out the natural conclusion, when the United States of America goes down, unless the Lord Jesus comes first, when the United States of America goes down, when the country disintegrates and comes apart, I have to believe that God will be at work, that God's hand will be behind it, because the institution of marriage, home, and family were disintegrated long before. I'm not a doomsdayer. I'm a fact teller. I don't say this about the country because I take any pleasure in it or because I want to sensationalize something. I say this for one reason and one reason only, and that's to impress on your mind the seriousness of marriage, home, and family in God's mind. And if you respect God's mind at all, you'll take it seriously, and so will I. He's so serious about it that he judges lands and nations by it, partially. So take that for what it's worth. But back to our text. Evidently, the apostles were so wowed by his teaching, so taken aback by Christ's teaching on marriage, that they asked for a further explanation. They asked You know, explain yourself, Jesus. So when the disciples got some private time with Jesus, they asked him in private to explain, you know, about this one flesh, let not man separate, God joining together, holding fast, this, that, and the other. And fortunately, Christ obliges and says, here's my explanation, guys. My explanation is this: whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. If you are familiar with Matthew's account of this narrative, you know that Matthew's account is the fullest account that we have, where Christ actually gives one exception for someone to divorce and then remarry. The exception was fornication. If you were cheated on, the other person, you know, becomes an adulterer through fornication. That's the one exception Jesus gave where somebody can divorce and then remarry lawfully. I told you at the very beginning that Jesus says some shocking things about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And this is specifically what I'm talking about in verses 10 through 12. I say it's shocking, but it's really only shocking if you're not familiar with the scriptures. If you read all of the teachings from Genesis to Revelation on marriage, I don't think any of us would be really shocked by what Jesus has to say here in Mark chapter 10. In fact, it fits quite nicely in all of the things that God has to say. But many people who are not familiar with Christ, not familiar with the scriptures, would think that this is ultra strict. In fact, let me tell you about a man I met about a year ago. Ran across a man who expressed that sentiment, that it was a little strict, this view on marriage, divorce, and remarriage that we're reading about from Jesus in Mark chapter 10. It was a guy that I met. I found out that he was fairly religious, and so I was telling him about the radio program that you're listening to now. And he found out very quickly, fairly quickly, that I was a member of the Church of Christ. And he began to tell me his only experience with a member of the Church of Christ was not a very pleasant one. And these were his words. He was a radical when it came to marriage, divorce, and remarriage. This is what he was saying about a member of the church that he had met. And I said to the guy, well, define radical. I wanted to poke and prod a little bit. I said, define radical, because all I believe is exactly what the scriptures teach on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. I don't want to go any farther than the scriptures, and I don't want to bind anything that the scriptures have not bound themselves. Well, I won't tell you about the whole conversation, but as the conversation progressed, we found out that the man was married to a woman who had cheated on her first husband. He was married to a woman who had cheated on her first husband. Well, let me tell you, according to Jesus in verse 12, that's not a lawful marriage. That second marriage is not a lawful marriage. Listen to Jesus again in verse 12. If she divorces her husband, marries another, she commits adultery. You see, and we might attach words like strict, we might attach words like radical to that. I'm just saying that's the teaching of Jesus Christ. It was Christ's explanation of what he had taught the Pharisees earlier. I'll sum it up this way. If the divorce is not lawful, the next marriage can't be lawful. Now, you can what if me to death and say, well, what if one of the people dies from the first marriage? You know, then what about the living spouse? There's a million what if scenarios, and you could what if me to death. But I'm assuming that both parties are still alive when I give that summary. If the divorce is not lawful, the second marriage, the next marriage, can't be lawful. It can't be based on Jesus Christ and his teaching here in Mark chapter 10. Now, the next story seems totally unrelated. It's much more lighthearted. You know, some of the stuff that we just looked at is pretty heavy stuff. I would agree with that. But there's a principle in the next narrative that I think will fit nicely into some of the things that we just heard from Jesus regarding marriage, divorce, and remarriage. So let's read the story. Some parents or somebody was trying to bring some children to Jesus, and they were hindered by somebody. Let's read it. Verse 13 through 16. they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. So we have a story here with some parents, uncles, aunts, whoever it was, cousins, trying to bring some children to Jesus and have Jesus lay his hands on them and bless them. And the disciples didn't want anything of it. The disciples actually rebuked the people that were bringing the children. And when Jesus saw it, the text says, and I want you to hone in on this word, he was indignant. That is a super strong word in the Greek language. Some translate that word indignant, sore pleased, much displeased, furious, angry. I think indignant it may be the best use of the word. It's a word that is very emotional. Jesus was emotionally riled up here. And perhaps the best way to describe how strong the word is shown in this fact. This is the only time in all Scripture where this word is used about Jesus. This is the only time in all Scripture where this word is used about Jesus. This word indignant, this Greek word, I mean. This word indignant, Greek word for indignant, is used 7 times in all the New Testament. It was used once about a ruler of the synagogue. It was used once about chief priests and scribes. It was used 4 times of the disciples, which shows you how emotional those guys were. But only 1 time in all the Scripture does it ever use this strong of a word that Jesus became indignant, and it was because that they were preventing the children from coming to him. And Jesus goes on to explain why he's so upset. He was upset because to such belong the kingdom of God, he says. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And I would paraphrase that by saying this. When kids are refused, when kids are relegated off to the side, sloughed off to the side, when kids are ignored, the precious qualities they possess are ignored too. Kids are to be imitated in certain ways. I realize there are passages that indicate that we should be mature, full grown, eating meat. You know, all of those images really highlight the best in adults. I get it. But there are good things about kids. Let us never forget that we should imitate children in certain ways, namely their purity, their innocence, their sense of trust, their willingness to obey their parents. And I know that the older a kid gets, you know, the less perfect they become. But in all of these areas, I think that that kids far exceed that of adults, especially in their nature of trusting. The trusting nature of a child. Oh, for the trust of a child. I wish that I could trust God like my son trusts me. I told you earlier that I wanted to tie a principle from this narrative into what we heard from Jesus concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And what I want to tie in is the trust of a child. Are we willing to trust God's word like a child so easily trusts their parent? Are you willing to trust all the teachings on marriage, divorce, and remarriage like a child so easily trusts their parent? Children don't what-if their parents to death, but that's what we do with marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We just what-if it to death. Children don't distrust and call into question. Children don't look for loopholes. Children don't look for excuses. Now, I know you might be saying, well, my child does that a little bit. Well, yet the younger the child is, they don't even know what a loophole is. They don't even know what an excuse is. The younger the child is, all that they know is that the parent is going to look after them and that they need to do what the parent says. And if we approach the subject of marriage and divorce like that, with an unbelievable, unwavering trust of our Master Jesus, would we have all the division on the subject that we do now? Impossible. It comes down to receiving the teachings of Jesus like a child. And if you are unwilling to receive them that way, that's fine. Jesus says, It's not even possible. It's not even a possibility that you get into the kingdom with that attitude. He said in the latter part of verse 15, whoever does not receive the kingdom like a child shall not enter it. There's just no way, no how, we can even enter the kingdom of God without possessing some of those attributes of trust as children have. Let's trust God in the subject of marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and not just those, but all things, knowing that He will take care of us. He knows what's best.
Thank you for joining us today. To hear this program again, please visit our website at montavistacoc.com. If you're in the Phoenix area, come visit us at the Monta Vista Church of Christ. We're located at 2202 North 40th Street. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and again on Wednesday night at 7. For more information about the Monta Vista Church of Christ or to request a personal Bible study, please go to montavistacoc.com. Hallelujah.